Hey, Raja.
Hey, Mama.
Good day to you, sweetie.
Good day to you, too, baby girl. What you up to?
It was cold, and I closed the door. I was trying to figure, you know, I wanted some sunshine to come in, but I opened the blinds. That's fine.
Yeah, it is. Philly. It'll be winter, too, later this month.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for it, but I know it's December.
What's your favorite season? You do a winter, baby.
Yeah. I'm Angela the mom.
I'm Raja the daughter. And
this is talking
brown
sugar.
Sugar.
Yay.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Talking Brown Sugar. You can also find us on Twitter at Talking Brown Sugar. That's Talking Brown SUG. You can email us at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com. And like we said last episode, we are now on YouTube, so we'll be uploading shows there as well for you all to listen to that easier or platform you prefer. And look out for more content coming from us as well. If you have any ideas or topics you'd like for us to discuss, you can email them or DM us online, as well as show us some love by sending us 5-star views. Thank you very much. Let's get into the show.
All right.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you have to speak victory during the test. And no matter how you feel, speak the word and you will be healed. Speak over yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord.
You sound good. You sound better this time. You sound good.
Yeah. What you wanted to say, but you had a word to go with it.
Encourage
yourself. Sometimes you gotta go through things by yourself. You can still talk to somebody, but sometimes that motivation to get things done, to get her done, has to come from within. But you could do it. Just a reminder as we close out 2023 and we start to think about a new year. Your new year can start when you need a new fresh start. Doesn't always have to start on January 1st, 2024. It can start when you know you need a change or it's time for a change.
Yes, time. Encourage yourself.
That made me think about that other song from hearing it a lot on commercials.
What's that?
Time is on my side. Is it you? Do. I don't know. I don't know the rest of the song, but I remember hearing that a lot in the morning.
You've been singing, practicing your singing?
No.
Oh, okay. It's not like you've been doing something. Your vocals are clear.
No, I warmed up, and there's a practice you can do to find your natural voice, because I mimic a lot of people when I sing.
I do, too.
To find your natural voice, you got to hum, because people, when you say, or you try to hum lemon, you can try to hum 2-syllable words, and then once you hum it, you sing it, and that's how you find your natural singing voice. Right, so you can hum lemon or pasta, like, and then you put your hand in front of your mouth or like on your fingertips on your mouth while you're humming, so you can hear and feel it, the vibration. And then you sing. So you said, that's your voice when you are humming. And so I say, and then you sing it, lemon, lemon, pasta, pasta. And that's still my favorite voice, but yeah, I've been singing for a long time.
Yes, you have. I remember all them engagements you were going to. They had me going to some ones I can make.
Yeah, of course.
I used to be a super duper soprano, but now I think I'm more alto.
Yeah, I think I'm mezzo soprano.
I used to be like, "Mom!" Ain't gonna be too loud. But
you're fine.
I used to really hit the notes.
I can still hit some notes and give me some water and some tea. You know, to protect my vocal.
Depends on how I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Ready to jump into some news?
Ready to jump into it. Sugar cubes, aka the news, where you put a little sugar in your cup. What are we talking about today, baby?
Our first story up. The Muppets from Sesame Street Workshop help explain opioid addiction to young children. Yeah. Tevin Simon grew up in West Baltimore back in the 1980s, a neighborhood that lacked attention from the city and investment from the government. From day to day, she was never sure what version of her mother she encountered. I knew that if my mom had drugs, that she was a fun mommy, and if she didn't, she was a mean mommy, Simon says. Simon's mother was addicted to opioids, and her trust issues with the drug led to abuse and neglect. And it says millions of children struggle with what Simon went through. More than 4% of children in the United States live in a household with a parent who misuses opioids, according to estimates from the Department of Health and Human Services. They have outlined videos online from the Sesame Workshop. So there are different scenarios and skits to serve as aid for adult parents, people working with children to help explain difficult topics to the kids. And so in the opioids parental addiction version, they have Elmo's dad explaining the word addiction in an age-appropriate way as they discuss why Carly's mom is in treatment. They go on to say many children feel confused and anxious about what their parents are going through. And so the Sesame Workshop is an educational nonprofit behind the world's most famous children's shows. So this is a subset program of what we all know as Sesame Street, the TV show. Is the experience of having a parent with an opioid use disorder is traumatic for children. Harris, of the associate professor at the BU School of Social Work, and she specializes in early childhood trauma. So this is a tool to help children being able to address trauma in early childhood. They said it's imperative for children to understand what's going on around them and it'll help their growth and development in terms of cognitive development, emotional development, and social.
Wow.
And it says the Sesame Workshop, so the nonprofit is an umbrella organization for the show, and it began developing some of its first materials specifically created for children age 1 to 6 whose parents may use drugs or in recovery. Now a recent grant from the Foundation for Opioid Response Efforts will enable Sesame Workshop to produce more videos, stories, and resources focused on addiction, treatment, and healing. Some of the free materials are available online and feature famous Muppets like Carly and Elmo and Chris and more of the shopkeepers on Sesame
Street. Like you said, you can always learn from the street. I applaud Sesame Street for doing that. Because, we think that, grandma or somebody in the household can explain. But sometimes when they see a little friendly little Muppet tell them, they'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me.
Right. It definitely helps to have an age-appropriate resource. Sometimes you don't have the words to explain life to a little kid.
Or your patience, because they'd be like, why?
Right, and you dealing with everything, and they asking why, because they don't know, and they want to know. They're trying to understand it, too.
Like, why is mommy so this, or why is daddy, or whoever caretaker is, or where are they at? Because kids remember, you tell them somebody's gone, they be like, what's today? Why they're not here?
And you remember that into adulthood, the stuff you saw, you might not know exactly, but you can start to piece together stuff as an adult. And if you don't address it right, while that kid's a child or going through it, and help them process grief and all that stuff that's going through them.
And that's it. It's just a gentle touch.
Yeah, and I think it's cool. So the Sesame Street Workshop is a resource. They have online catalog of resources to help children learn about and process experience like a divorce, bullying, community violence, or a parent going on military deployment. They even have things about addressing diagnosis such as autism, HIV, asthma, and COVID-19. So I don't think it's just a resource for kids. Like, it's also easier for adults to help process some stuff that you are going to as an adult, just to have a simpler way of explaining things.
I always tune in to Sesame Street because I can learn things too. Ever since I was, a little kid, I always tune in and just to see what they're talking about, all the updates, all the new puppets that can help somebody else,
I agree. I think it's a great reflection of what children are going through today, that they're having to address those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of what children are going through, Black students in Durham schools are suspended and expelled at much higher rates. The study shows, says community members in Durham held a meeting on Tuesday evening to discuss discipline disparities experienced by Black students in Durham. Articles coming out early December 5th, says community members in Durham held a meeting Tuesday. Says local nonprofit Empowered Parents and Community, or EPIC, is hosting the event. Says the group said community members will have the opportunity to discuss their experience experiences with discipline in local schools and ways to advocate equal disciplinary practices. It says, we believe that our schools must treat every child as equal, especially in situations of conflict and disagreement, says Jovenia Lewis, executive director of EPIC. Our unique program focuses on parent empowerment and advocacy with the goal of disrupting the school-to-prison pipeline. Our monthly community forums brings those with lived experiences together to find solutions.
I think they need to find some solutions and put it in force. Just don't talk about it. And don't, sometimes, you know, they always want to send them away and say this is a bad kid. But you see what's going on. We see it in our face.
Right. And I think if you got to send everybody home, send everybody home.
That's it. Send them home.
I know that disrupts the learning, but there should be equal punishment and follow precedent. So even if it, I know sometimes case, you're saying case by case, but if the study can show that numerically things aren't equal, something needs to be adjusted. As a study posted by the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction in March showed that during the 2021-2022 school year, North Carolina public schools suspended Black students at higher rates than their peers. Of the over 217,000 students suspended, more than 112,000 or 51% were Black. At Durham Public Schools specifically, the study says over 2,000 of the 3,424 students suspended were Black. The study showed that 76% of the students serving long-term suspensions were Black. The lack of instruction of teaching students with diverse backgrounds. Brittany Clark Epic said the lack of instruction in teaching students with diverse backgrounds can also play a role. Nearly 65% of students who were expelled that year were also Black.
That's a lot. You know, they cut back all the fundings for like social help or Big Brother, Big Sister or the godparents. They had like a lot of programs with the godparents, the grandparents. You know, you don't have to be biologically these kids' parents, but it was like a help. Somebody come in, a familiar face, so they could talk to and they could trust. You know, sometimes emotions take over and people just don't think. They just react. They don't have nobody they can trust. It starts with, oh, how you doing? What's going on with you? But there's nobody there sometimes to confuse a problem with a child.
Right. And we know there's a lot of external, internal, systematic factors that are causing these patterns. So I applaud this group for working on the parental side of providing supports and outlets for parents to become or have better advocacy skills when they can, because we know that parents have jobs. They may not be able to get to those meetings or be able to intervene. And we know that there are a lot of things impacting how a student shows up to school. They said, you know, a lot of kids who are going to school are looking for love they aren't getting at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they might just have a bad day, and people assume that Black people are inherently more violent and more dangerous. That is still being taught to people. Those are implicit biases and things that people may not even know. Teachers may not even know that they're viewing their students that way. So I know a lot of people can take, you know, racial diversity classes and things like that, but that's if the teacher has been empowered to do that, or on top of, you know, having large classes, not having the resources to teach students, you know, kids aren't able to take books home, different things like that. And so being distracted or feeling like you're not a priority from society, and you go to school, you got a teacher who is underpaid, overworked,
mm-hmm. all that,
and, you know, in a violent environment, you know, we don't know what the kids are, or even the teachers are coming across as they come to school, you know, the potential of, you know, school shootings, all this kind of stuff in the air, and so much going on in society. How can you stay focused? And then it's like a powder keg.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much for that to set off. And so then how do you handle that in a peaceful way? And so we see that the Black kids especially are not being treated in a way that is consistent with rates that would match the ethnic, I guess, diversity of the school. So it's like, why are they getting harsher?
Because we can think of things, even though it's old to the new of now, how things could have been handled in more of a student-teacher relationship. But now it's all over the place now. It's got to be taken care of. But
The whole system needs to be refreshed.
What they can do.
Yeah, the whole system needs to refresh. And so I think this is one of many tools that can hopefully turn the school system around to actually help kids. So I don't know how it's helping people, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's zoning, and you got people on the panels fussing with the Board of Education. It's right in your face, you know. You these people are arguing, and how are y'all settling anything? Nobody's being heard. So the kids are going to react to that, and then what can you expect?
Right, and then you talk about the school-to-prison pipeline, how easy it is to fall into that trap based on your zip code. How can you control that as a child?
And that stems back from history, how they have redlined, you know, zoning.
gerrymandering, all that. Yeah.
Cutting through, you know, making new expressways, highways, through mm-hmm.
land. What resources you have,
you know,
from home to school to work, playtime, third spaces are gone due to the pandemic. All this
all
stuff.
That. Yeah.
So we got to look out for the youth.
Then they change sometimes the time for the kids to get to school. And some kids are just not morning people. You know, you got to get up
I was not.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm. Going to school in the dark. That was a big thing.
I like it.
Especially when it was cold.
Oh my goodness. You can't even think straight.
The ride to school was always the quietest because people, you could tell, still waking up, still cold. So when a fight would break out in the morning, it's like, okay, you're OD because it's freaking 6-something in the morning. Why are you angry? And now you know why. At home, this was something brewing, all kinds of stuff, bullying, so much stuff.
And school, most time, was an escape for kids. The breakfast meal. If they missed mm-hmm. that breakfast meal, they have to wait for lunch. You don't know what they went through from 24 hours or less from the weekend to a Monday to waiting for Friday to come. It's just something stewing. They're just getting mad and they don't have nobody to talk to no more.
I don't remember eating breakfast in high school now that you say that. I rode the bus and so, like, sometimes you get there late and there wasn't that option. And I don't remember going to breakfast in high school. I don't know if I did or not.
Ask you this breakfast menu for the week or the month. And you'd be like, well, my child hasn't ate. Or, you know, you're paying all this taxpayers' dollars and it doesn't add up.
Yeah. And then you end up eating pizza every day for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, when I found out that if you don't get to the certain selection in time, or if they didn't call one side of a building in time, you just get whatever. I'm like,
right.
That's not right. And I spoke on it. I came to the school and spoke on it.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was funding and cutting back for wasteful food. But all kids should get opportunity to eat. You don't just cook all of it and you don't see it going nowhere. You want to get a head count of how many kids are in school.
Yeah. So those are all the things facing children and Black kids are bearing the brunt of it.
There needs
to be systematic change.
Yes.
Moving into some technology news.
Yes.
Yes, Reviving Mind implant restores cognitive functions to brain injury. So a study worked with 5 different individuals who had traumatic brain injuries. The treatment was an implant for them. It was developed by the Stanford medicine researchers and collaborators from other institutions in a first show of promise against a long-lasting impairments from moderate to severe traumatic brain injuries. So for a lot of people living with traumatic brain injury, it says over 5 million Americans live with long-lasting effects of moderate to severe traumatic brain injury. That's difficulty with focusing, remembering, making decisions. And it says, though many recover enough to live life independently, their impairments prevent them from returning to school, work, or resuming their social lives. The implant helped a lot of people regain their independence by helping their cognitive delays reduce. And so for many of them, they were either age 22 to 60, and all of them had sustained traumatic brain injuries 3 years to 18 years earlier. The challenge was placing the stimulation device exactly in the right area, which varied from person to person. You know, each brain is shaped differently, and the injuries they had required further modification. So that's why we developed a number of tools to better define what area that was. And the level researchers then created a virtual model of each brain that allowed them to pinpoint the location and level of stimulation that would activate the central lateral nucleus.
Wonderful.
So a lot of people were able to get back to their daily lives. One of the hardest things they said was trying to, of the 5 people, get people to volunteer to test how their experience would be if they turned off the implant. And I think only 2 people volunteered out of the 5. And so out of the 2 patients that did, they were able to turn off 1, and it was randomized who they chose who to turn off their device. About 3 weeks without stimulation, the participants performed 34% slower the trail making test that they initially had people complete without the stimulant. This gives people hope at some new step that they can take towards therapy and help people who have traumatic brain injuries recover and get back on track.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it, that helps out the caregiver too, you know, who they're with, or somebody they just probably met, just been married. It's a lot. It changed the whole dynamics of everybody. Everybody got to pitch in. And that makes it frustrating for a person who at one time was mobile and they know they can't do anything for themselves or whatever it could be.
And that's the thing. I think they pick people who had a sense of normalcy but still got tired trying to do stuff they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So with the implant, they were back to mostly normal. And I think that's, all you can hope for if you can get some help after serious injury.
You have to have that fight to want to recover. It's not easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some downsides to it, but I'm quite sure it's more of an uplift, even if you had to move more slower or thinking slower, but just to get to your point of someone trusting you that they can leave you for a little while and you'll be okay without any extra assistance.
They gave me another song.
Uh-oh, what is it?
We fall down, we get up, we fall down. We get up,
dun, 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 dun.
And get back up again. Just go back up again.
That's right.
Unfortunately, that's what the individuals of this next story will have to do. The 3-year cruise around the world was called off, leaving passengers in the lurch. And this story comes from NPR, covering the Life at Sea cruise line that failed to purchase the German cruise ship AIDA Aurora, or Aid Aurora. It was seen in 2020. It had plans for a worldwide cruise embarking in November. It began to unravel. So many people who sold their homes and gave up, hefty investments to go on a 3-year cruise. And they were promised to travel the world for 3 years. But the cruise company Life at Sea recently told customers who bought the passage on the 3-year voyage that rather than visiting 140 countries, the trip was canceled. Says those customers are now scrambling to make new plans for where they will live for the next 3 years and to extract funds from the cruise line. The intense fallout is drawing comparisons to the infamous debacles such as the Fyre Festival, the luxury music festival that was more like a disaster relief area.
Gilligan's Islands, the 3-island cruise. Yeah.
Yeah, they were supposed to go to Istanbul, to Europe, then to South America and the Caribbean. That they would then pass through the Panama Canal before seeing the U.S. West Coast, Hawaii, and Alaska, then head west across the Pacific. Says we were going to be following the summer the entire time that we go around the world. Dang, it sounds good. It sounds like what you would want to do if you had the opportunity. So they were going to spend
time. You know what we say? If it sounds too good to be true,
get you a backup.
I don't know if I would have sold my house. I would probably made a profit off of Airbnb?
Oh, rented it out. Mm. Right, and then it's like, did they have a payment plan? And then did you have to pay the whole money up front?
Yeah.
That's the way they were going to use the body ship and the food. Like, I'm curious what is going on with the back end of the deal.
I would have me somebody to really check over that for me, a travel agency. AAA, somebody who does travel agencies.
I don't even know if you have travel insurance for cruises and what does that look like? Flights and stuff.
Yeah.
What does it look like for a cruise?
But for that, 3 years?
That got canceled.
I don't think I could have did that 3 years. Maybe 2 months at the most. Mm-mm. I don't know. That's going to be a funky ship.
They were going to be on port for how many days is it? They would be at sea 300 days, 795 days at port, and then 413 days overnight port.
And it's 300 and what? How many days of the year? 370 what?
365?
Yeah. Somebody.
You got a new year. That's a long year.
Yeah, that's a lot. And then, they change people in different ports. So.
Yeah, and it said packages were starting at $196,000 for a single traveler and $231,000 for couples.
Yeah.
It was higher for guests staying in premium rooms. It says in exchange, passengers or residents of the company called them were promised a long list of amenities, including an onboard hospital doctor. Some cabins will host cats. Travelers also promised high-speed internet, fine dining, alcohol, and laundry service, and enrichment seminars.
But they know
they have the itinerary attached and everything. It's a nice little chart.
Yeah, but they're supposed to have the doctor and the nurse and all that there on the ship. But some of that stuff you're supposed to, they made too many problems.
Anyway.
Yeah, because most of the time you have to pay for them little extras. Like
the itinerary is 36 pages long.
Yeah.
So 3 years of activities, you just go and go and go and go. different places.
Yeah, that's like a zonk. Like, let's make a deal.
They're going around the world.
Hey, those people lost their money. They need to find out who started that up, you know, and get them. But you know what? They probably wrote some kind of contract of like, you know, hey, if you on your own, read the fine print. What else we have, sweetheart?
Moving on to some about the Renaissance.
Ah.
And of course, we're going to start with Blue Ivy. So Blue Ivy was only supposed to perform one time, but having heard criticisms from one of her friends who showed her the feedback she was receiving from the public, Beyonce thought that was going to dissuade her. But Blue Ivy said, you know, that she wanted to train more and show them that she could do it. And so you can hear her saying, I feel like now my mindset has changed and now I actually have to wake up in the morning, go to rehearsal, and I have to actually work harder. And that was something that inspired Beyonce even. She was, you know, in the film talking about how nervous she was for seeing her daughter, you know, take on the stage in a way that is her own choice, but in a way she also wasn't prepared for, the same way Beyonce was. I think Blue did amazing.
I think she did, you know, I think they came to see Blue.
Yeah.
I mean, of course they want to see the mom, you know, Beyonce. But to take on that, people need to sit back. That little girl did good the first time. I didn't see where she messed up. For all those,
the first time they were saying she didn't have emotion in her face with the boom cat, you know. And I was like, that's a 11-year-old child on a stage with over, what was it, 70,000 people?
Yeah, she done missed sleep trying to get up. And, you know, her mama, they say the mama was cutting up a little bit behind, you know.
I get nervous talking to more than 100 people.
Because her mom was, her Beyonce's mom was even getting tired. Like, I'm getting tired of my own daughter. Because you're trying to, this is your money maker. You want to make sure everything is right. And I think her daughter did good. Shout out to Blue Ivy.
She said, oh, for real? What black mamas be saying? I'm going to show you better I can tell you.
That's what she did.
She said, I can show you better I can tell you.
And she was dancing with them twins too. She was working it out. I was like, what? She keeping up with them twins? What?
Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful
one. Y'all want to talk? I'm going to give you something to talk about.
And another note from the Renaissance. It says Beyonce's Renaissance film is number one at the box office with a 21 million debut. So you hear a lot of news about box office openings, especially since the pandemic. You know, a lot of people aren't going to the theaters. And so it's been hard for a lot of movies to have similar box office opening weekends, similar to what we consider even before the pandemic, as people started to get introduced to streaming options. And so she was able to come out on top. In the North American ticket sales, according to estimates from the AMC theaters, says the post-Thanksgiving early December box office is notoriously slow, but Renaissance defied the odds, not accounting for inflation. It's the first time a film has opened over 20 million on this weekend in 20 years since The Last Samurai with
Tom Cruise.
Yes, I could not think his name. Yes.
And that was a good movie too. You know, I like Asian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Fine men. They had great archery. Good fighting. Not taking nothing away from Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. It debuted in 2,539 theaters in U.S. Canada. Yeah, so that's an amazing feat.
Yep, I'm proud of her. Proud of her mom and daughter. It's not like a mom and daughter duo. Because you don't force your kids to do stuff. Sometimes we do it, but we see them moving around. Hey, we'll put you out here on stage. You want to jump around? Be like, okay, let's do this, mommy. She's been seeing mom entertain. And, you know, people always going to have their own judgments. But she took it in stride.
Are you going
to
see it?
I plan to.
Okay, me too. Yeah.
I plan to. And me and you can look at it together. We can dress up. Seriously, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see it in theaters, per se. Maybe when it die down a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know how we are. Just a little bit.
And I do want to see The Color Purple.
That is what I really want to see.
Yeah, they said they were acting down.
Yeah.
So we got to see it.
Yeah, this is some great work in that. We'll save that one for another time.
Yes.
I don't want you to hive after me.
Girl.
Swap me some bees.
You fine. Anyway, nobody said anything.
All right.
We have in gamer news, the long-awaited GTA 6 trailer. It says fans are already in love with Lucia. I think that's how you say her name. L-U-C-I-A, Lucia.
Lucia.
Rockstar's first female protagonist in decades. Says it's no surprise that all anyone can talk about today is the first trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6, which Rockstar released early yesterday after a leaker posted it to Twitter. X. Already devs are praising it, fans are dissecting it, and skeptics are critiquing it. But my favorite discourse so far has to be the praise over the unquestionable star of the trailer, Lucia. Yeah, I saw the trailer. Did you see the trailer?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I think they did a good job. You know, I'm always detailed for animation of it.
Yeah.
The AI or whatever they use.
They definitely are taking their time with the visuals.
They did an excellent job. I was like, wow.
Yeah, and it looks like, too, they're taking a lot of real-life viral moments and inserting them into the game. But one thing I noticed, too, about the protagonist storyline they have going on is it might be like a Bonnie Clyde situation.
That makes sense.
And I know people, I said, they're really targeting the girlies. It's something for the game of girls. Guys, too, because guys stay playing with female characters, which is...
Vice versa, yes. I've done that, too.
Yeah, but I think it'll be cool to see what the storyline is going to be about. I have not finished the GTA 5 storyline. I didn't play through it myself, but I do know how the story goes and ends or whatever. I just haven't finished the game story mode yet. I know. Life, things. I'll get to it one day.
You will.
But I'll watch. I look forward.
I'll hold me a remote and watch.
Yeah, no, I look forward to playing this as well as seeing what the map is going to look like. People think it's going to have parts of Florida for sure and possibly go into Georgia.
Oh, you know what? I was going to get close to that. I was around that area.
It looks interesting. It looks like a fun time.
I wonder what kind of, I'm quite sure they're going to have good music.
That's what I was thinking about too, the radio station. I can't wait to see. Of course, we know the hip hop because when you think about GTA 5 and I think San Andreas, I think was also some of the best soundtracks they had.
Yeah, very
radio station coming through. So it'll be cool to see what songs they have on there. I think it will be cool for any artists they have to maybe like release a song on the game that they haven't released
to
the public yet. That would be cool. Or even have like a artist serve as the radio host.
Oh, that's cool too.
That would be something fun to do. I would love to be in a video game like that. A voice actor in a video game.
Oh, yeah, like you know, they always throwing Samuel Jackson, Taraji, those voices. You'd be like, what?
That you know, in different places, Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool to see.
MC Light hit those voices.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to tap into some cooking.
Yes.
A little bit food news. A new traditional delicacy is popping up in China via grilled ice cubes. I did not believe or understand how this worked, but I watched a video and you see the chef takes ice cubes, the big cubes that you would get from like a restaurant, from the ice machine. So it's cubed ice. They put it on the grill. They season it, toss it around a little bit. I'm talking about the grill is on, it's hot. The ice isn't melted all the way, and they just put it in the tray with the seasonings. And the customer eats it with chopsticks, and boom, grilled ice. I have no clue who this is for. It says it's a traditional delicacy. But I know people who eat ice. I know that's what y'all, like, it's perking your ears up, I'm sure.
And some people have certain types of ice. They will look for certain stores or...
That crushed
fine ice. And now they're making more machines that can do that.
The funniest thing I've seen was on TikTok. I did not get her name. I did not remember to take notes. But a young TikToker, she put a humidifier in a deep freezer. There's nothing else in a deep freezer. It's a new deep freezer. Wash it out. Put the humidifier plugged up separately in the deep freezer. Close the freezer and had it going, and then was scraping off ice from the side of the freezer and just eating it.
Wow. She got to be careful.
A lot of people were saying, I remember being told this was poison. And I was like, yeah, if you put raw meat in there and other things and going in that freezer, a lot of stuff going on. But grilled ice is popular. And, of course, there are people who find it as, like, not a snack, but it's just offering seasoned water.
Basically.
But some people who like it says it gives their crunch a new meaning. I understand flavor of ice, but that takes it to a whole new meaning.
Yeah. I mean, hey, like they said, if you can sell it, go for it.
What kind of weird ice flavor do you think you would eat?
weird to me.
Or like an icy flavor. Like, okay. I think I would try. I've seen it before at Pelican's, the pickle.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The pickle too. Ice. But I don't know. I just don't, the grill part is what throws me off.
Yeah, I think that's what messed my mind up, because I was about to say something. Buttery corn flavor ice.
Ice. Ew, I could see you doing that. I don't know.
That's the greasy, not the greasy part of the butter.
With the cold, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So you would get seasoned ice then. They would probably have to season it to achieve that salty, buttery.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess they know how to fix it. You know, they're kind of creative in that line of artistry of food. You know.
Get y'all some seasoned ice, some seasoned grilled ice. Some grilled ice. Get mine to go.
That's why they say, check your, we eating this ice like that, check your iron, please.
Yeah, because it can be a sign of anemia.
Yeah.
Moving into the sea a little bit, Red Lobster raises their prices for its endless shrimp. Wow. For its endless shrimp in wake of $11 million operating loss. It says seafood restaurant chain Red Lobster has raised the price of its endless shrimp offer due to acquiring an $11 million operating loss. The loss that Red Lobster underwent in its third quarter was due in part to its iconic endless shrimp offer, which only cost $20. The price has been raised to $25 to help minimize losses. And I wonder if the loss, because they've had this multiple years, yeah. But I wonder if the loss came because of TikTok and the internet and people sharing how much shrimp you have to eat to get your $20 worth.
Yeah, I'm quite sure.
I
remember when we used to do that, to go there, and it was a waste. It really was.
You can't eat all that shrimp. And then
you can't.
I also was wondering, where are they getting the shrimp from? Because we ate up the crab so much that they stopped going to their normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, mating homes and the waters they were used to.
It was like, we're not living there no more.
And it's like, have the shrimp not got the message, or they don't care? Like, where are they getting all the shrimp?
They say the shrimp is done.
The roach of the sea.
That's what they say.
I know I can't eat shrimp anymore.
Yeah, I'm cutting back too, because, yeah, it just don't even.
I had an allergic reaction.
Something's going on in the waters now. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of places are testing the quality and the types of meat that we're eating at restaurants.
Correct.
The Red Lobster isn't lobster at all. It's a different kind of fish.
Yeah. Which is, well, I guess they say eat all the biscuits. Eat those, what, cheesy biscuits?
I do not like cheesy biscuits. I know people like the cheddar biscuits. I do not. I can't stand them.
Yeah, they were pretty tasty.
Those also make me sick.
But, you know, Red Lobster's changed. They're trying to stay competitive. But you got all these new other crab-type places. All you can eat is really giving them a run for their money. So they got to come up with a different gimmick.
Well, you know, they had a little help from Beyonce.
Yeah.
The Formation song, you know, like it's that. You gotta find another song.
Well, they need to get a happy hour or something, you know, some kind of appetizer with a drink. Whoever you got your good drinkers out there, come up with something to make people say, let's go in there at this time, you know.
And are people still going to restaurants? I know COVID numbers are going back up.
Yeah, that has something to do with it too.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got there?
Yeah, our last article.
Oh.
The word of the year. Can you guess what the word of 2023 is?
Tell me.
I feel like Dora the Explorer. Do you know the word for 2023?
Backpack.
It's Riz. R-I-Z-Z. Yes. So, that's according to the Oxford English Dictionary. Riz beat out Swifty, Situationship, and De-Influencing.
Oh, that's my word.
Situationship.
Situationship. I've been saying that word a while.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't have a word that Jada used.
Interesting. Oh, and they did say something about what, instead of saying red flag all the time, what is it, beige? Beige flag is not as serious as the red
flag. Oh, yeah. Beige flag, yeah. Entanglement, that's the word I was thinking of.
Oh, exactly.
I guess that was it for you. But it says the competition celebrates recently created words or expressions that symbolize a period of time while also having potential as a term of lasting cultural significance or providing a snapshot of social history. Oxford University said as it announced the winner, if you're asking what Riz means, you're not alone, particularly if our generation or so older than Gen Z. Ooh. But don't feel too left out. There's an even chance that you have Riz without actually knowing what Riz is. And like seemingly everything else, it can also be a verb. Riz is a colloquial term defined as style, charm, or attractiveness, the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner, according to Oxford University Press. And then as for the word's etymology, OUP says, is believed to have been taken from the middle of charisma, and much like fridge derives from refrigerator, but the point is in dispute. Some people say it's linked to the term actor Tom Holland to Sports Center Shams Kareena. It says, I have no riz whatsoever, Holland said over the summer, sparking an online debate over the man who is famously dating Zendaya.
They said
popularized it. A lot of people started using it.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh yeah, riz threw up. Well, I got mad riz. I have not said that out loud, I don't think.
I haven't.
Like, without seeing it somewhere else, I haven't just said it, so... I'm not Gen Z, so
I like to say stuff around the house. See how it comes out my mouth before I. It depends who I'm around to talk like that or use the word.
Who she is.
You know.
Yeah. So very nice little bunch.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can find us on the internet.
Yes.
On Facebook and Instagram at Talking Brown Sugar. On Twitter at Talking Brown Sug. You can email us at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com. Don't forget to check us out and subscribe on YouTube. And wherever you listen, give us 5 stars and a review.
We're waiting for it.
Also, don't forget, you can promote your business with us. In our next week beats mention, you can email us at talkingbrown.sugar. The subject line, business feature, with a few sentences about your business, product, or service. There's room for everyone to. Again, this has been Talking Brown Sugar.
We out. I'm Angela the Mom.
I'm Roger the Dwarf.